prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Jeff.
Welcome this morning.
Good morning.
We are talking about manuscripts and more. There's been some talk.
Yes.
Does Jesus have a wife?
Right.
We got some evidence that he does.
This whole thing has been really sensationalized since it was not discovered, really, but released.
That's the right word.
To the public.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just recently discovered. But it's a Coptic, piece of Coptic
papyrus.
Papyrus. From somewhere in the 3rd to 7th century.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting. Let's talk about this,
we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about an update to the manuscript evidence of the New Testament.
Okay.
We've done a show or a couple shows on, hey, here's the New Testament manuscripts, how many we have. Here's how many other ancient documents have.
Right.
Well, we've got some updated numbers.
Right.
Well, so,
because we don't want to lie.
Because we don't want to lie.
We want to keep everybody informed.
And actually, the case against the Bible has gotten stronger.
It has.
But
stop scaring me,
have
Jeff.
No fear. We're going to bring out all those numbers and show exactly what that means.
Right.
So if you're here today, we want to welcome you. Jump on over to truthrevolution.tv.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to our old shows on that site. As long as it keeps getting updated, you can hear old shows. You can see a video we have posted right now. I did a video called Logic and Preliminaries to Apologetic Reasoning. Mm-hmm. Now, this is basically a 35-minute video on the intro to how to do logic and how to be a Christian apologist, which is kind of what we do here.
Yes.
So it's a pretty good video. We posted it one day, and the next day a seminary from California was asking if they could use it for their students, and so that was kind of cool.
So it's kind of good. I mean, it's okay.
I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a dinosaur in it. There is.
There is.
Anyway.
I watched it.
Okay. You can check
not
that out.
Not a purple dinosaur, but it's a dinosaur.
No. You can check that out on truthrevolution.tv, you can ask questions there if you want. You can also donate to the show.
Yes.
I just want to give a big shout-out. Thank you to everyone who's been donating, helping this show out.
Yes.
I had a big surprise a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Someone came in and gave a really good, sizable donation, so thank you for that. And we just really, you know, this show works because you listen to it, you give us feedback, and you help support it.
Mm-hmm.
Without your feedback, without your support, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't want to show up here.
Well, you know, we'd be wondering.
Yeah.
You know, is anybody even listening? Is anybody out there?
Hello. Hello. Jesus has a wife. Anybody? Okay. So, anyway.
Allegedly.
We are glad you guys are listening. TruthRevolution.tv. Okay. So, this Jesus wife Coptic fragment. Let's talk about this because it says that Jesus had a wife, supposedly.
Right.
This ancient document.
It alludes to the fact that Jesus has a wife. Now, now it's of my opinion that people may be jumping to conclusions.
Okay, well, you know, I checked late last night, and Yahoo had posted an article by LiveScience.com. Not that Yahoo's the source on ancient manuscripts.
No, because that's Wikipedia.
Pretty much. So, Yahoo article by LiveScience.com, they actually suggested it was a forgery. So even
really?
Some of the secular places now are kind of turning.
I was kind of wondering about that because, I mean, it's some of it's a little too neat as far as the way it was cut out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Daniel Wallace wrote this blog post. If you want to check it out, it's called Reality Check, the Jesus Wife Coptic Fragment, where he lays out some really good arguments. And I'm going to go through some of the stuff he points out because this is just brilliant. It's just as good as anything I can do here.
Right. Let's lay down some groundwork first because some people might not exactly know what exactly we're talking about.
Yes.
If you've been watching Discovery Channel anytime over the last, say, 2 or 3 weeks, there's been a bunch of hullabaloo about this whole thing about this fragment has been just discovered, and it says it's proof in capital letters, P-R-O-O-F, that Jesus was married and had a wife.
Discovery Channel.
Okay, and when I saw that on Discovery, I thought of Jeff, and I thought, I wonder what we're going to do about that, because I knew it was only a matter of time.
Until we said something.
So now you're up to speed as far as to what most of the public knows about it.
And yeah, we didn't say anything the very first week after the public went crazy about it. We want to respond as fast as we can after we get good information.
Exactly. You don't want to open your mouth too soon, because that leaves a lot of room for the foot.
Yeah. You don't want to come and jump it in going, it's a fake, and then find out it's not a fake. You don't want...
Well, here's our public apology.
Whoops. So we're not going to jump in and say, hey, this thing's a fake. We're not going to say it's a forgery, although some people are already suggesting that. Mm-hmm. But Daniel Wallace says there's been an unbelievable torrent of hoopla over a newly discovered, or rather recently announced, Coptic fragment that speaks of Jesus being married. The news of this small business card-sized fragment has gone mainstream, so much so that even David Letterman got into the act. On
Here's
Thursday evening,
card.
September 20th, just a couple of days after the story broke. Here's my business card. I'm married. Just after the story broke in the New York Times, David Letterman, I almost said David Copperfield, had a telephone interview with most important guest he'd ever had, Jesus Christ.
Right.
This Jesus was married, and his wife was nagging him in the background. Anything for a laugh, it seems.
Right.
So, I didn't see that. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it, but it concerns me a little bit the way people are flippantly throwing around, you know, this whole situation, because it's important for Christians, you know.
He interviewed Jesus, and his wife was nagging him. That's
right.
Okay, like on one hand, that's pretty funny. On the other hand, that's very irreverent.
Okay, it can be funny. Okay, I guess I had to be there.
Here are the facts of the situation before I say something I regret. The facts are that Professor Karen King of Harvard Divinity School presented a paper at the International Association of Coptic Studies in Rome.
Right.
Okay, on September 18th. This is, this made the public announcement of the fragment of papyrus, and it explicitly claims that Jesus had a wife, or she claimed that Jesus had a wife based on this. She gained access to the fragment via an anonymous donor who allowed her to publish it. All right, now the fragment was written in Sahidic Coptic. Now, this is an ancient language that has roots in the 3rd century.
Right.
Right. Now, Sahidic is the oldest dialect of the Coptic language, so you can try to date it on Sahidic fairly well, you know.
You get a target.
This is going to be the oldest Coptic thing you can find. Now, papyrus was used as a medium for writing until the 7th century, and so that's why Dave here was saying between the 3rd and 7th century. So if it's genuine, this fragment has to be between those two times. Mm-hmm. That's very good homework, candy work you did there.
Well, thank you very much.
Because you didn't even have any notes in front of you.
I didn't. So, I did it all from rote. Memory.
It does it does mention Jesus of Nazareth, who this is the actual Jesus. I posted on my Facebook account. I said, hey, we're going to talk about this thing. And we had a lot of people comment. One of the comments was, well, maybe it's not even the Jesus.
Right.
Maybe it's just a Jesus.
But... Now, I do know that in the papyrus, it does have a little symbol above the name, which denotes that it is actually a sacred name.
Well, yeah, it was written in what's called Nomen Sacrum, the sacred name. It's
Gnomish?
Sacrum. Not Gnomish.
Sorry. I thought we made another discovery.
Are we into the Lord of the Rings now?
Stop.
Anyway, in the Greek New Testament manuscripts, this is how they write Jesus' name as an abbreviation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's some other things in there. Basically, I'm not going to get into all the Greek and Coptic writing information.
Right,
but basically,
talk all day about that.
Yeah. Scholars know this is talking about the Jesus. It's not just some other guy. Now, number 5 point of what this thing is, the fragment is a fairly clean rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Text is not there on all sides. So it's not like we found a business card that says, hello, my name is Jesus, I had a wife, the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
What we found was, this is, you know, imagine a big long page out of a book and a square cut out of the middle.
Right.
And we are looking at a square that's been cut out of the middle of something.
So we're missing words on the beginning part of it, we're missing words on the ending part of it.
Yeah, below and both sides are missing words. And so we don't really know what the context was at all. Which is interesting that the top fragment is the one that's the most interesting. If you look at a picture of it and just pull it up online, it looks like it's been really cleanly cut.
Right, like with scissors an X-Acto knife.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's been cut that sharply and that cleanly. Now, that's that's atypical for ancient papyri. Mm-hmm. That that is not normal.
Well, now were the Dead Sea Scrolls on papyri?
That's I don't know off the top of my head.
But if you look at those, or if you look at anything really old that's been discovered, I mean, it's very brittle, and it's kind of like, you know, jagged on the edges, and there's no real clean cut part.
Right, you know? Exactly. And yeah, there are all sorts of jaggedness, and but this one is a super clean cut. Suggesting that this part about Jesus' wife, someone wanted us to read this out of context, that they cut it out of context on purpose.
Right. Kind of the same thing some people do with the Bible itself. You know, we'll just read a verse.
Which is why we do a Bible contradiction every week. So, okay, now, Jesus definitely says, my wife, in the fragment. Mm-hmm. He also says, my mother gave life to me, and she will be my disciple. In the he's probably referring to my wife, whoever that was. So, this is some of the other facts. The hand that was written in is neither literary, it means it was done by a pro.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wasn't a professional writing, wasn't even documentary writing, and quote here, it doesn't even look like it was penned with a stylus because the writing is so blunt. Rather, it looks like it was brushed on. Parallels
with a crayon.
Parallels to this are not easily forthcoming in Coptic writings of any period. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't true. It doesn't necessarily mean this isn't accurate or it's a forgery.
Right.
But it's another, along with the special cutting of the text, this makes it a little suspicious, which is why some even secular people are saying, no, this is a forgery.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have an ancient religious document just brushed on, not done in any known style, like just paintbrushed on. That's just weird. So, now, does this prove Jesus was married? We have to look. We answered this question once before. Jesus married. Was there evidence? We said no. There wasn't evidence. The Bible doesn't say he was married. If the Bible said he was married, then okay, we'd be fine with that.
Right.
There's just no evidence to say it. Does this suggest that he was married? No, it doesn't. You can find all sorts of crazy writings about Jesus.
Right.
We're going to actually, if we have time today, which we probably won't, but if we have time, we're going to look at some of the Gnostic information from centuries ago around this same time. There's also, you've probably heard them on the Discovery Channel as well, called the Gospel of Thomas, or, I mean, all sorts of different Gnostic Gospels that say all sorts of crazy things about Jesus.
And I was reading last night.
It doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, and there are some similarities.
You were reading?
I can't believe it or not. I was reading last night and according to what I read, there are some similarities between the Gospel of Thomas, which is a Gnostic gospel, and the writing on this papyrus.
There are some similarities. Yeah. There's also a very difference, a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So now it does have some similarities to Thomas. Let me just read you a little from Gospel of Thomas.
Okay, here we go.
This is an ancient document.
This is actually not the Bible.
No, this is not the Bible. It's called the Gospel of Thomas, but it is not written by Thomas.
Yeah.
It's not from the Bible. These are Gnostic writings, which are basically people who claim to be Christian, but no Christians accepted them. They were basically like a cult.
Okay.
And so the Christians back then didn't accept these things, and they wrote their own version of the Bible. And for instance, Simon Peter said to them, let Mary go out from among us because she is a woman, and our women are not worthy of life.
Well, I mean, that would actually go with the mindset from back in the day.
That's what they said. But this is not in the Bible, but this is what the Gospel of Thomas says.
Right.
Jesus continued, see, I shall lead her, so that I will make her male, so that she too might become a living spirit resembling you males.
That's kind of, it doesn't sound like something that Jesus would say.
Right, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And this is why the Christians from back then cut it out and said, can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't true. This is way off. Now, what we're saying here is that just because there's an ancient document that says something about Jesus doesn't mean it was true.
Right.
There's crazy things that are said about Jesus. Now, we're going to actually, we got to go to the break. We got to come back on the other side. I'm going to read you exactly what the whole thing says. This whole ancient papyrus says.
Great.
We're going to read it in as much context as we have. Go to truthrevolution.tv.
Yeah. You can give donations.
You can ask questions.
Yep. And don't forget about Truth Revolution or Revolution Church tonight or
this morning.
This morning.
You're tired.
This
morning at 10:15 a.m. So it's not too far away. Go ahead and get some clothes on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get in your car. Listen to the show on your way over.
There you go.
So 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church. We're across some Ace Hardware over by Kmart. We're on South Street. So and you can check us out online. You can go to truthrevolution.tv and see us there. All right, on the other side of the break, we'll be right back.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back. We're talking about the newly discovered, or newly released or announced, papyrus of the Coptic stuff that talks about Jesus having a wife.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to actually talk all that scientific stuff, so I just laid it right out there.
There's something that says Jesus had a wife and is really old.
Right.
So
it's written in a language I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyway, I said to you that on the other side of the break, I would read to you this document
to
tell you exactly what it says. Now, this is going to be interesting because you'll see exactly how out of context this actually could be. And again, to be real honest. Now, I know there's theological implications here, but we would have to be able to work through those. But to be honest, I don't care if Jesus was married or not, to be real honest.
Right, because it doesn't take away from what he did.
Right, he still rose from the dead, literally. He still saved us from our sins. He still lived a perfect life.
Right.
There's nothing imperfect about being married.
Right, although the Bible does not even mention anything about it.
So I'm not saying Jesus was married. I'm just saying I wouldn't care either way. We just want to find the truth here.
Right.
And here's what the document said. Before I read that, go to truthrevolution.tv.
Shameless self-plug. Is it shameless when you do it on your own show? I don't think so.
No, because if they go there, they'll get all sorts of great information.
There you go.
So I'm helping.
Inform yourselves.
All right. Line one says, "Not to me. My mother gave to me life, ..
Right, and that's where it ends on that line.
And there's some words in here that we're inserting to make it sensical as well. Right. The disciple said, line two, the disciple said to Jesus.
Jesus, that's a cliffhanger.
Line three, deny. Mary is worthy of it.
Another cliffhanger.
Line four, .. Jesus said to them, my wife, ..
Another cliffhanger.
Line five, .. She will be my disciple, .. Line six, let wicked people swell up, .. Hey, if we're going to take any line, let's take that one out of context.
Right.
Let wicked people swell up.
Like a balloon.
That's what Jesus wants.
We will drag them down the street for the Macy's Day Parade.
Line seven. As for me, I will dwell with her in order to .. Line eight, an image. All right, I mean, this could be...
It could be anything. It could be something I wrote.
It could be. Or it could be totally legitimate church document.
True.
I mean, I'm going to read line four and five. I haven't even thought of anything ahead of time. I'm just going to read it and throw in something that might fit.
Okay.
I hope this works. I don't know. So line four, Jesus said to them, my wife, which is the church, my body, is going to grow and prosper. She will be able to be my disciple as she studies my words. Let wicked people swell up and boast about themselves, but I will bring up my church and they will survive. As for me, I will dwell with her in order to raise up my church, my wife, my bride, and she will be an image of me. I used all the words in that document right there.
That sounds very biblical.
I didn't use the first couple lines. Right, but you see what I mean? Okay. Like,
well, in the Bible, Christ refers to the church as his bride.
Yeah.
On several occasions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we already know Jesus has a bride and it's the church.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do the first couple lines, maybe I should have, but you understand, like, this is out of context. We have no idea what it really means or what it really says. So, I mean, here's some likelihoods, right? The four edges really suggest that it was cut that way in modern times by the dealer of a fragment in order to get more money out of it.
Right.
You know, you cut it this way and woo, all of a sudden it's like...
Right. Let's be honest. When money's involved, expect anything.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So that's one possibility. I mean, really, that's a pretty good likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they don't want to carbon date it. Carbon dating 14, actually, you'd have to destroy part of the document.
Right.
And since it's only the size of a business card, they don't want to have to destroy part of this. But there is a new non-destructive dating method called plasma chemistry and supercritical fluid extraction.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, no. And so, anyway, you could get a pretty firm date on this without damaging it. And here's what we'll see, if the owner and the professor will allow it.
Right.
I don't know if they'll allow it to be dated or not.
Well, and I mean, even if they don't, I mean, you can't really blame them. I mean, simply because, well, I don't know, that new dating would not destroy anything.
Supposedly not. I'm not exactly an expert in plasma chemistry and superficial fluid extraction. So the possibilities are that it's a fake.
Right. A great possibility that it's a fake. Because and at the very least, taken out of context.
Another possibility is that it's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Gnostic, because in the Gnostic view, there is no physical stuff. You would not, I mean, in the Gnostic view, Jesus wouldn't want to be married. He wouldn't want any fleshly,
okay,
the material world in the Gnostic view was as bad as you could get.
Okay.
The further away you got from physical stuff, more into the spiritual, the better you were in the Gnostic view. And the Gnostics didn't want to be married. They didn't even want to eat if they didn't have to.
Okay.
And so this is really not very Gnostic in that way. Another option, though, is that it was kind of Gnostic, but it's using Jesus' wife as the church,
mm-hmm,
or some kind of wife, a bond between a husband and wife that's not a physical bond. So right. It could be, for instance, this author puts in the Gospel of Philip, it says the relationship between Jesus and Mary is an allegory of the souls meeting with God in the bridal chamber. So there's some in this Gospel of Philip, which is another Gnostic, non-biblical document. Right. It talks about Jesus being married to Mary Magdalene, but it's just an allegory. So this could be doing the same thing.
Right.
Now, also, it could be totally Orthodox, as we pointed out in our fake reading.
Right.
It could be something totally Christian.
Well, there's plenty of people just jumping to conclusions by what they see on this little bitty business
card. Right, there could be more writing outside of it.
Right.
But there's no reason to actually believe that Jesus actually had a wife. I mean, right, out of all the possibilities, the one possibility that's the furthest from reality is that Jesus actually had a wife. And of course, that's the one everyone's jumping on.
Right.
Even Professor King didn't suggest that this fragment meant Jesus had a wife. I mean, she's becoming famous because of this.
Okay.
And she's not even sane. She's definitely not a conservative when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not even suggesting that. She says, it's possible date of composition in the second half of the second century argues against its value as evidence for the life of historical Jesus. So okay, even they say that. So
right.
Anyway,
hey, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Just right in the middle of nowhere. Why not?
Actually, you know, we kind of wrap that up anyway.
Yeah, we didn't actually prove anything, but we proved that it wasn't concrete.
Well, we just gave the facts, ma'am.
Right.
I will not call you ma'am anymore.
Thank you. All right. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Lean not on your own understanding." Okay. According to skeptics, a notated Bible, this means don't try to understand things. Just accept whatever the Bible and your religious leaders tell you.
Oh, brother.
Lean not onto your own understanding. Should we not think for ourselves?
Okay.
If that's true, then we should just shut the show down right now.
That is not what that verse means. Again, when we're looking at potential Bible contradictions and this came from the Skeptic Annotated Bible. I mean, this is a source that people are saying, hey, we're showing you all that's wrong and stupid in the Bible. If we're trying to show what's wrong or weird with the Bible, at least try to get the stuff in context.
Right.
I feel like we're looking at a papyri document that's been cut out of the middle of the Bible again here. Okay, it says, lean not on your own understanding. Let's read the context,
okay,
David. Proverbs 3, that was verse 5. Let's start verse 3.
Okay.
It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Okay, he's saying my teaching's a good thing to do. You should remember your father's teaching. Verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Does that sound like good advice? It sounds like good advice to me. It said in verse 5, then says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Now, of course, in verse 3, he's talking about don't forget God's teaching. 3, live in love. Now, verse 5, he's talking about trusting in God. Right. And then he says, don't just rely on your own understanding.
Right.
And then in verse 7, he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Listen, do you like discipline?
Nobody likes discipline.
No one likes discipline. And verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Is it easy to give money away and honor God or help the poor with you? No, you love money. Is it, in the verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Is it easy to get arrogant?
It is.
Absolutely. That's what
human nature.
That's what this section is talking about. Don't be arrogant. Go ahead and do good with your money, even though it feels hard. When God disciplines you, don't be mad at him. That's why it says, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. It's like me talking to my little son. I'm saying, look, you really want to watch Barney at 5 in the morning as he did today.
Right.
But lean not on your own understanding, little son. This is not good for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to discipline you. You need to honor your parents. You know, this is what it's not saying don't think.
Right.
It's saying just when God brings you into teaching, trust him. Trust that it's going to be good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be wise in your own eyes. Honor God with your wealth. Don't despise the Lord's discipline. Don't forget his teaching. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. That's what he's saying in this chapter. And that's what it's about. And that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
And let's be clear. Even people that are not Christians, like some people that I do know, claim that the Bible is full of very good stuff that you should live by anyway.
Yeah.
So, and I've had non-Christians tell me that, you know, the Bible's a good book. It's a good book to live by. I don't necessarily believe it. Well, I agree with you halfway.
Yeah, you know what my favorite thing is to say to them?
What?
Why? I say, well, it's a good book. I just don't believe, you know, stuff about Jesus. It just has good advice on how to live. I say, why does it have good advice on how to live? How do you know it's good?
Right.
Well, I just know what's good. Well, how do you know what's right versus wrong? Well, everybody knows what's right versus wrong.
Here he goes. It is a philosophy.
How does everybody know right versus wrong?
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody just knows. You know it's wrong to murder someone else. Why? Well, everybody knows there's some sense of right and wrong inside of there's some high moral standard that we're all aware of because there was a designer who gave us a high moral standard.
Right.
And so the very fact that you look at the Bible and you know that there's right and there's wrong and it teaches you right instead of wrong shows that there's some sort of implicit internal moral compass inside the human that tells us there's right and wrong, which means there's some standard above us that we have to be aware of.
Right.
It's not simply do whatever you want. Survival of the fittest. Anyway, man, we're not talking about that today, though.
Sorry, did I go down a bunny trail there?
need
a shotgun sound effect.
Okay, we were going to do an updated bibliographic test information to talk about the New Testament, how many manuscripts it has, and all that sort of stuff. We're going to save that maybe till next week or something like that.
Okay.
We're also... Actually, next week, we're going to start a new series, I think, on since it's coming up to Halloween. We're going to be doing ghosts and demons and mediums and near-death experiences. Are those things real? All that stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll try to get that manuscript thing in there sometime, though. So.
Okay.
Hey, truthrevolution.tv.
Check us out online.
You can donate. You can ask questions. Come over to Revolution Church right now.
15 minutes
Leave right now. 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes or so. Just get out here, okay?
Uh-huh.
So Revolution Church, we're waiting for you. You get a free coffee drink when you come. Cappuccino,
very
first smoothie,
timers,
whatever.
Yeah.
So,
very first timers.
Yeah. So, and you get to hear me preach, which is always fun for me.
The coffee's better.
Anyway, check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. Get out to Revolution Church. Hope to see you there. Glad you made it. We'll see you next week with our new series.